Hey Chicago, this is Eddie Vedder. Cubs.
AM WSBC. This is the Hoolies Hoolie. Welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
Saturday night in the hood. We're recording here at the studio on Thursday night, joined by a couple of great guests tonight. Bill, the Cubs are going to be in the National League Championship Series.
Yes, they are going to be in the NL pennant. Pretty amazing, my friend.
Yeah, it is, I guess. Where were you on that day?
I was actually listening to the I heard the game on the radio, and I was going to pick up some dough at the Carlton that I was owed, and all of a sudden, you know, there it was, Cubs win. And I walked in, and pandemonium was going on in the bar, and
yeah, it's
I had to give my congratulatories to all my Cub fan friends out there.
Yeah.
And it's well-deserved, man. They're a heck of a team.
Yeah. Our guest tonight has a pretty amazing sort of spot in Cubs folklore. And we're excited to have John Murray on the program tonight. For our radio listeners out there, he is the creator of the slogan that you see outside of Wrigley that started about 5 or 6 years ago called "It's Gonna Happen." Many of people have seen signs. John's an old pal of mine.
It's everywhere.
They are everywhere.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about how that idea was spawned and what it's like to sit outside Wrigley and wait for this to happen for 7 or 8 years. So I'm excited to get to him. There is a big event this weekend, the MS Crackdown. All right. It's Friday, October 16th, so I know that we won't be able to...
No, we'll be at our cousin Nora's wedding. Congratulations, Nora.
But by the time this airs, I hope, you know, people won't be able to... It won't matter anymore because it'll already happened, won't
right.
it?
Right. Yeah.
But if you do, well, let's not even Kevin Flynn and the Avondale Ramblers.
You're going to plug something that's not
Yeah,
even
I'm going to plug the fact that it's their last show. I ran into Kevin, and he's been pumping that for a while, and it's for a great cause. And, you know, anyway, I'm excited for Kevin to go on his new solo career. It was nice to see him out in the hallway tonight. He was on with the show before us. What else is going on other than Cubs World?
Oh, man, work, dude. It's the craziest time of the year for the liquor industry, October, November, December.
Is that due to the holidays?
I mean, it's just all the programming that goes involved with these corporate chains. And it's not just within the corporate chain world. It happens in the general market, too. But, yeah, it's like the blitz. You know, everyone's trying to get their gift sets. I set up
a Speaking of gift sets, tonight's episode is sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. It is Oprah's favorite. That's how I've been booking it lately. I don't know, like, it's going to become my running gag that it's Oprah's favorite. You know who else's favorite it is?
Who?
Mine.
Yeah, you seem to enjoy it quite a bit.
I do. So get yourself some McCann's Irish Oatmeal, available in all supermarkets in Chicagoland.
That's right. And this show is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
That's right. It's becoming the swag. I had some oatmeal. I gave Mike some oatmeal tonight. Hope he fills up on that and on these lonely cold nights in the studio.
Uh-huh.
What could be better than some McCann's Cinnamon Irish Oatmeal, right?
Absolutely.
All right, we got that out of the way. Let's take a quick commercial break and introduce John Murray to the Hoolies Hoolie audience after these quick messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story. Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJewel's. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Yeah, sorry, they don't serve weenies. That's
no,
Big
they
Guy
do
Sausage.
Not.
Big benefit coming up for Brendan O'Connor, the owner of Big Guy Sausage. Brendan's in a little bit of a bout. He's fighting cancer. We're going to have a party for him. It's Brendan's big benefit. It's October 23rd, 2015, obviously. And it'll be at the Carlton.
Where we usually tend bar, but I unfortunately will not be there that night.
Yep, there's going to be 3 live bands, including the Shams Band and Donnie Biggins, who we had on a couple weeks back. Jason Mamoser, that is a hybrid of some guys we know that are named Jason. There's three guys named Jason. And then our good friend Vince Mamoser.
Yeah, and his brother Phil.
And Phil.
So that's why where you get Jason Mamoser.
Well, that's Jason Cashin and Jason Fumo, who are also in the group.
And Jason Fox.
That's, oh, wow.
The 3 J's.
And then another group here, it looks like they're called Mr. Bungalow. I hope I'm reading that right. That's I like that name. Could have misread that and could have gone another way. That's going to be at the Carlton Well, that's going to be at the Carlton from 6 to 11. You can see Mr. Bungalow, Jason Mamoser, and the Shams Band for Brendan's big benefit. There's a lot of other things. You know, there's going to be a silent auction, and part of those things is a free flight to New York City to see a filming of Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live.
When I grow up, I want to be on Saturday Night Live. There's going to be, you can go see Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And you can win a signed photo of the cast and you, and Cecily Strong will be there from Oak Park guiding you through, which is kind of
absolutely.
Nice.
So it's $40, gets you beer and wine and some good old eats. The Carlton Hotel is located at 1128 South Pleasant Street in Oak Park. And I believe the event starts, 6:30? Yeah, 6 o'clock, 6 to 11.
Yeah.
So 5 hours of drinking, kids.
We're also employees at the Carlton.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place if you've ever been there. Go there, spend some dough, say hi to me, you know? You'll love it.
Yeah, but I mean, for them to say hi to you, they have to have like an event that's like, you know, thousands of dollars.
Here it is, Brendan's big benefit.
Yeah, but
I'll
you're not
going
to be bartending it, I don't think, right?
This is news to me.
Apparently you didn't read your email today in the schedule because you are not scheduled for it. Neither am I.
Okay. Well, in any event, I'll be there drinking some booze, listening to Mr. Bungalow and Jason Mamoser and the Shams Band. All right. Our guest tonight is an old friend of mine. I've known his family since I was a little kid, since we moved here from Elmwood Park. One of the first families in our parish that I got to know were the Murrays. And one of those Murrays, there's 13 of them, is my friend John, and John was a trader at the Board of Trade for a number of years. We reconnected when I had been kicked out of college for a little while.
Uh-huh.
John offered me a gig working outside of Wrigley Field one summer where he would send me into the park.
Yeah.
I'd throw those. Remember Lance Armstrong had those bracelets? That he, what the heck were they? Like, I fight cancer. What was it? They had a name for them.
The Lance Armstrong bracelets?
Yeah.
I thought they were just called the Lance Armstrong bracelets.
Oh, Livestrong. Thanks, yeah, Mike. That's, you know why Mike's living strong? Because he's got McCann's Irish oatmeal in the tummy.
Yeah.
So, the Livestrong bracelets. So anyway, actually, you John know, had these bracelets.
I still have one of those. Those are probably collector's items now. They're probably worth, like, I still have one that's, like, still in the wrapper, never been
They
opened.
Went viral. I remember John Kerry was running for president, and he was wearing a Livestrong. It got a little out of hand after a while. I was like, everyone's got a Livestrong, but does it really mean anything at a certain point? But anyway, this was a different thing. This had nothing to do with cancer. Yeah. This slogan was about creating a belief within fans that have, you know, reigniting their spirits.
Their passion.
Yeah. These wristbands said, it's going to happen. And it started as a thing where John had this idea to get these signs and start giving them away, and people would hang out in the stadium at Wrigley, and they would flash them on TV. And the Cubs had a very great year that year. So I don't know.
Was that 07 when they went to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Was that the last time they went to the playoffs?
So I want to introduce my. So John's doing this now, and he's in the thick of it, and it is Cubs season. So I thought it'd be interesting to have John on the program. I'm very thankful that he did it. It is Cubs hysteria. So, John, I want to welcome you to the program.
Thank you very much, both boys. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell the whole story because this is a fascinating story, and you do have a spot in Cubs history, in my opinion.
For better or worse.
For better or worse, but you have an illustrious Cubs past. And how did it start? When did you grew up a Cubs fan? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, well, we grew up on the west side, so I guess we were Cubs fans because my dad was a Cubs fan, just like most of the Sox fans are Sox fans.
Yes,
but where they grew up.
Yeah. But it was a split kind of neighborhood. It's not one of those like where people from the south side are all Sox fans or people from the north side are all Cub fans. There's people in your family that are there any Sox fans in your family at all?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. And is this like brothers? Because there's a family of 13 here.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, a few of them are more so the brother-in-laws. All my brother-in-laws are Sox on every one of them.
Those are your sisters rebelling.
So every year the Cubs lost, they'd ask me, are you still going to do what's going to happen?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now let's get to that. So,
to answer your first question, I'd say the reason why I'm a Cubs fan and hooked on the Cubs is from the first game I ever went to. My dad brought my twin brother and I and my brother Bob to a Cubs game. We were fortunate enough to sit in the first row to see him play the Big Red Machine.
Wow.
After the Reds won two World Series in a row.
All right.
So it was our 10th birthday, aging myself right there.
Yeah.
And the Cubs, Paul Rushell and Rick Rushell both pitched actually in that game, I believe.
Yeah.
But they were beating the Reds 10-0 in the eighth inning. And Charlie Hustle gets on with a walk. He steals second. Pete Rose at second. As he's coming across scoring for the win, he was taunting us with his hands up going, like Clubber Lang and Rocky.
Yeah. Wow. And, Chong Lee, blood sport.
I was like, what was that all about? And they were losing 10-1, and ever since then, I was a huge baseball fan.
Yes.
Huge Cubs fan, and it was pretty funny.
So, in other words, Pete Rose made you do it.
No, well, I don't know about that. I don't know.
All right.
That's why I'm a Cubs fan.
Now that and you drank the Kool-Aid and it's been just nothing but misery ever since.
Yeah.
You then went and grew up and worked at the Board of Trade, and then at a certain point you had this idea. And how did this spawn? How did the "It's Gonna Happen" signs start? Like, you're the guy who brought these to the park.
I'd say it started.
What year was it that I was working with you?
I believe it was 08.
And is that the year you started it?
No. We started in 07.
07 was the playoff push that year.
Right. Yeah, and I knew nothing going from the Board of Trade about inventory.
Yes.
I mean, counting.
Yes.
But inventory or anything like that. So it was a big learning experience, but the one thing that you don't want to do is buy a ton of inventory before a team gets swept in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which happened in 07. And 08.
Yeah.
Hurt.
So then the next year you called me up and we were like, all right, I got a plan. I'm running out of gas doing this myself. Because going to a Cubs game every day and people loved you. They like wanted to party with you. You're a handsome guy. You got these signs.
I don't know about that.
And everybody wants to party with you, and it just takes a lot out of you. So then that's where myself and cousin Dave came aboard.
Yeah, Dave is legendary. And
absolutely.
As you were too. Yeah. Everyone has their process, their sales process.
And we were the guys outside that you would send us into the park. Right. And it was a great gig.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys could pretty much walk in the park at certain points of the game, but Dave was really holding the T-shirt.
Right.
I think he hurt his back because of early models.
So how did it, like, all of a sudden it wound up, like, it went viral of sorts. What was the incident that spawned it?
I would say it started with the first time we got there in 08 when we decided to go at it hard.
Yeah.
It was, like, early to mid-July, and what happened was we had a huge sign, and then we had a bunch of other signs.
Right.
But the big sign is the one that they went on, like, a 13-game winning streak. And the cameras were on it, you know, every day if the cameramen.
Right.
And that's what really got it.
Wasn't there an article in Sports Illustrated about this?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to that.
The article came out, a guy by the name of Farber, who's actually a Canadian guy, and that was after DeRosa had said he likes the signs up there. I brought a bag of the...
Was DeRosa the manager?
DeRosa was the second...
Mark DeRosa.
Second baseman. Oh, yeah. He's on MLB right now. But what I did was I gave one of the guys who works at the parking lot, I said, these are for Mark DeRosa. He needs these. It was a bag of, you know...
Bracelets.
100 of them. So he had them in his locker room.
Right.
I had a card in there, and this writer got it. The writer called me.
Ah.
Talked to me out in the sidewalk after one of the games.
So, yeah, and he was like, what's this all about?
Right. And then he was nice. He wrote a very nice article about it. Pictures with my ex.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, so it was a big thing.
Yeah, so that was very good. They've been actually real kind to us because the next year in 08, they put on the cover with Fukudome.
Yeah.
Said the Cubs can win. I believe that was beginning of 09. So.
Now, I should probably, I could take a commercial break, but I think we'll just go right into it.
Okay.
So there was a monkey wrench thrown into the entire viral stream of it that year. And then Carol Slezak was the one who approached you, right?
Yeah. Well, no, she approached me. She called me because what wound up happening were the Cubs, they stopped showing the signs.
Right. We were forbidden from bringing them into the park.
Right, right, right. So the cameraman stopped. And
that's what they did first. They told the Cubs organization, told the camera guys, don't film people with those signs in the audience because we don't want to... It's not a part of Major League Baseball. It became a money thing.
Right. Yeah, I'd say yes, Your
Honor. Yes. No, but then, and then at that point, there was rumblings going on, like, who's the guy behind the signs? And then you had a somewhat dark past, an embarrassing issue that happened to you as a young man at the ballpark years earlier. Well, after a few beers, I got to tell you, it could have happened to any young Irish Catholic kid from Chicago.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
But you had a few too many pops one afternoon and decided to run out on the field and tackle Randy Myers in 1993.
Yeah, it was a poor choice.
Yes.
And, I get to hear about it every day since it happened.
Yes.
Particularly at the Board of Trade.
For sure, because that was like record, new headline, giant headline. It did make the news, yeah. And it was kind of a thing in our neighborhood when it happened.
The 20-year anniversary was just last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, how fitting that you're on the program where we can just wash your hands clean of it now.
Or make it fresh in everyone's mind.
Huh? So anyway, that you decided to approach that head on. You were like, all right, if somebody's going to tell the story and come out with the truth about this, I'll talk to Carol before she gets it from like some dude at the Board of Trade who wants to bury you.
Well, yeah, some of those people are going to still try to bury you anyway.
Sure,
yeah.
She did write an article, and it was 95, so that was 08, 13 years later, and in 01, I bought one of those commemorative bricks, and it's right in the Rick Sutcliffe. Right in the bottom on Addison there, right near the new DraftKings. And the brick just says, sorry, Cub fans, September 28th, 1995. That was the day that it happened.
Yeah. Yes.
But so I apologized.
You apologized with a brick.
To Major League Baseball. Bud Selig wrote me back. And some people didn't accept the apology at all.
Sure.
So, Carol wrote that article and it kind of explained it all.
Yeah, and then like I remember it had two-way effect on the marketing of us outside the park at that point, because some people thought it was great that you came clean and apologized and was like, hey, could, you know, I was a kid, and we'd have those guys who would come up and be like, yeah, what's up? Because the Cubs have such a party atmosphere around them that they could be forgiving for something of that nature.
Right, but it also and then fuels.
But it also fuels buttheadedness.
Right, and when you're selling behind the bleachers, there's a lot of people you got to deal with, particularly during losses or you know when they get swept in the playoffs.
Right, so that was like when that came out that season, that's when the Cubs were perhaps interested in talks, and then you spoke to them, and then we got iced out essentially.
I went to speak with a couple of people were in power there, and one of the guys, I don't know if he's there anymore, he mentioned that I said, I think it'd be nice to make it like, you know, the Jimmy Fund in Boston, where we could raise money for charity. And he goes, fine, right, give it to us, and we'll do it or whatever. And
you I was know, like, give it to you.
I was still young and naive and wasn't very good at negotiating. Yeah. I was an opener.
Yeah.
What I should have said was, that's an interesting way to look at it. Maybe we should look at it this way and actually just have the relationship. Instead, I was like, all right, well, you guys, I guess you keep doing what you're doing. I'll do. I handled it the wrong way, I guess.
You're stubborn about it.
No, I wasn't stubborn. I was kind of miffed. I wasn't ready for that. You know? Yeah,
you weren't ready for any of it
to
happen.
It's kind of like being on the radio for the first time.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, on that break, we're going to take a quick message. We'll be back. We're going to take a quick message. We're going to take a quick break. The Hoolies
after
will be back.
After these short messages.
Thank you.
Dyslexia.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in 4 states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to ednapletonhonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 888-809-7851 or online at ednapletonhonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
Come into my office, Mr. Finnegan. How can I help you?
Doctor, you got to help me. I'm having panic attacks, terrible anxiety.
You just need some hooliganism.
Hooliganism? What is that, some new medicine?
It's an elixir for what ails you, Mr. Finnegan.
Is it a pill? Do you swallow it?
It'll relax you. Rick Hogan of WGN says it oozes Chicago. He also says it's fantastic.
But what the heck is it?
It's the new book by Mike Houlihan. Everyone's talking about it. Frank West of the Irish American News says it's filled with human warmth and you should read it when you need a good laugh.
Hooliganism, the book. Hey, my wife said you were a doctor.
I am a doctor, and hooliganism is my prescription. The New World said Southsiders would rank it up with the Book of Kells.
What about my irregularity?
Read Hooliganism. You'll find it very moving.
Hey, you're not a doctor.
I'm a psychiatrist, Mr. Finnegan, and I can tell what you need is a nice dose of hooliganism.
But my wife said you had her undressed and you examined her.
Yes, she appears to be very healthy, Mr. Finnegan. Oh, nurse.
Hooliganism is the new book by Mike Houlihan. You can purchase it online at www.mikehoolihan.com or at any of Chicago's finer Irish gift shops.
Nurse, will the doctor be giving me a prescription for hooliganism?
Do you have insurance, Mr. Finnegan?
I've been hooliganed.
Yeah, Pat, have you ever been hooliganed? Every day.
Ah, okay.
Back at the Hoolies Hooli, 12:40 a.m., we are joined with our guest, John Murray of It's Gonna Happen.
Yeah.
Now, that's a funny thing. When I was working for you, it was like, then there's all these ripoffs, right? Now you got It's Gonna Happen, and then the guy across the street goes, it's gotta happen. These are my signs.
Yeah.
And it turns into one of those. I remember where you were like, keep an eye out for anybody who's got an It's Gotta Happen sign, and give them $20 and find out where the heck they got that.
It was one vendor and
vendor wars.
He's a beer vendor and he does it before and after the games, and you know when he did that, I basically just kind of scared him.
Yes.
And that was it. He apologized and he got rid of me.
He was like, no, I'll buy the shirts from you.
He offered the money for probably the three that he sold. Yeah. But, you know, once again, he got stuck with a bunch of inventory.
So I'm seeing the signs everywhere currently during this Cubs playoff push. Where are people getting them?
Okay.
And how do they get them?
The way they've been getting them is through the website, itsgonnahappen.com.
Okay.
Or this season, for the most part, they've been buying a lot from their vendors down there.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can't be there all the time.
That's what I want to get at. It's interesting that you went balls to the wall on it for like two seasons, and then you're like, all right, I got to get back to work again. And all of a sudden, the Cubs are good again this year. Out of nowhere, you kind of knew that was coming, but you didn't have to do it. It was like the signs resurfaced without you really having to do much.
Well, you know, the hard thing about that was,
so it's like you did brand it, like it worked.
Well, I mean, who's to say it's not working now?
Yeah.
But it's a matter of 07 and 08 when it started. It was, you know, it was just clearly for, you know, the Cubs, obviously being all this.
Yeah.
This damage from being a Cubs fan, but yeah. When it gets to, you know, 09 and they kind of folded down there, you know, that those first 3 years were, you know, you didn't get that crushed, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
But then after that, they were bad. We're still going to games, but, you know, when no one's buying anything.
Right.
I mean, people it was looking like the Blackhawks in the 90s for a while there.
Sure.
The crowds, but I think everyone held on because they knew what they were doing, and they just cleaned house, and right now they just got a young bunch of just energy.
Oh, it's
there.
It's unbelievable.
You can tell they just love playing with each other. And,
yeah.
You know, it looks like it's going to be good for the next few years.
Now the trademark doesn't necessarily have to work with the Cubs. I know that other clubs have sort of taken on. And does it come down to the font size that you use in the poster, or is it the slogan that is essentially trademarked by John Murray that you have going?
It's the slogan, and when I trademarked it, you know, you go with the patent attorney, and from there, it's you can say the font with it, but really it's the
right.
It's the mental property. There is such a
yeah, it's mental property. Welcome to showbiz. Hey, that was my movie idea. It was mental property. I had it, like, you know, when I was 8.
For a trademark, you have to have a point of sale where you sold it to someone and an aha moment. Uh-huh. And if you can document the first sale, it's getting a lot easier to anything anyone out there wants a trademark is that it's getting cheaper because everyone just uses the internet right now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's like kind of perhaps the whole thing could turn into like a great Cubs blog of some sort where it gets redirected to that web. You just create a media website out of it.
It's interesting. I have a brother who mentioned that this last week, my oldest brother. He mentioned that would be a good idea. But once again, with another job, with bills to pay, with my daughter in college and two in high school, one about to go to college, it's difficult.
But you have been out at the park recently, and
yes.
You are still doing it. I know that you have a spot like a few blocks away from there. And at a certain point this season where people are like, what are you doing? You got to get back out there. And you were like, what? I have to. All right, well, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
They're showing the signs.
It is cool when you get that you get that feedback, and that's been happening a ton. And, I mean, just you can tell when they're winning like that and people come and people are selling more signs. And
all right.
That's not necessarily me all the time because I can get there just so much. I mean, I love going to games, but if someone else is selling it, obviously you're not going to make as much money.
Do you have, now the Cubs are obviously going to go to L.A. or New York for the pennant. Do you have contacts in L.A. or New York where if we're watching national television, we could potentially see the Cubs on the road and see it's going to happen in the audience?
That's contacts. I mean, there's Cub fans everywhere.
Sure.
That's the one thing that I did learn in 08 when they were rocking and they got to the playoffs and things looked fantastic before, you know.
Yeah.
You wind up selling to every state and nation.
Okay.
There's
so,
Cub fans everywhere. And I mean, I'm not going to be selling them out there.
But they can get them. They can get them online.
But yeah, they can get them online. But really a lot of people, you know, they can get them online or they can bring them over.
Okay.
So, But, you know, it's not just the signs, the wristbands.
Sure.
A lot of people like those because they're blue. They got the Cubs white flag up, white flag in there. And, yeah, I mean, they're it's all going for a good cause as
Pat,
well.
Pat, do you still have your It's Gonna Happen t-shirts?
Yeah, I do. In fact, one of them appeared in Jonah Ansel's student film.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You wore that in that movie.
That Phil Hodges directed. That was Tabby Gevinson's first movie, The Little
Girl.
Was
she wearing one of those shirts?
Yeah, she's wearing one in the movie.
Wow. She's a big fashion blogger now, isn't she?
She is the owner of Style Rookie. She's one of the biggest fashion bloggers in the world.
Does she know anything about baseball?
She was in that. The movie that she did was called First Base. Yeah. How about that, huh?
I don't know what you're getting to.
It's actually about a kid learning how to play bass guitar, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's about
gets to first base, too.
Huh? Yeah. All kinds of... There's baseball, there's the first kiss, and then there's a recital involved in the movie, and that's why it's called First Base, but it's spelled B-A-S-S, I believe.
It's going to happen that way. That's right.
Okay. Enough of the riff-raffing.
Yeah. John Murray has been our guest. I'm going to take a little break. You know who I like a lot lately? We're going to have John. John will be on for the whole program.
Yeah.
I like this guy, J.D. McPherson. Have you seen him at all, Irish-American?
I mean, I know who he is, and I've heard some of his songs before. I know recently, I mean, you've been talking about him for the last few weeks.
Got a little man crush on him. He has some Chicago roots here in Chicago. He did live here for a number of years and cut some songs here, and he still works with a lot of guys. But... let's hear him doing Head Over Heels. I'll get to that in a second here.
My name is...
What was that?
That was a commercial for McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Forward to going to Boston on Saturday?
I am. First time going to Boston. If I can get this rare thing to play here. All right, here we go.
First time in Boston. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at Will Hunting's house. This is J.D. McPherson doing Head Over Heels.
Making
12:40 a.m. That was J.D. McPherson doing Head Over Heels. I like that. Bill, you were breaking my chops before. I was having a little trouble getting that song on before we went to a break there. But I am going to Boston for the first time.
Yeah, Beantown.
Yep, first time ever going there this Saturday for the American Society of Plastic Surgeons.
All right.
Benefit. Jay Leno's going to perform.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's going to do it. I swear to God, he's going to do a set for like all the So the reason I go out there is because we are the preferred merchant processor. Payline, by the way, everybody. Uh-huh, yeah. Payline, get that in your head. We are the we have a partnership with the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, ASPS.
Yeah.
And we're going out there to say hello and thank you to all the best plastic surgeons in the world, and they're all going to convene in downtown Boston.
Nice. Are you sure it's going to be? Are you sure it's going to be Jay Leno? And it might not be. Do you remember when
Little Jay Leno?
Little Jay Leno on Conan O'Brien was one of my favorite bits that he ever did. Where he had the little. I don't want to call him.
No, I'm pretty sure it's the real Jay Leno. Okay. He'll be wearing denim, all denim.
Yeah, he's got a new show on what is it? Not the History Channel, MSNBC, I think, or something. It's like Riding with Jay.
Yeah.
It's like a car show he's got. Oh, CNBC. There it is.
There's Mike. CNBC, Jay Leno. So what? He basically, first he steals some one guy's show, and now he goes and does Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee bit.
Stern to Seinfeld.
No, I think.
It doesn't matter. I perform for plastic surgeons. They pay a lot of money.
No, it's because he's a big car lover. And so it's like he goes out and like he test drives.
I was a car lover first.
Okay, I'm done.
Is that the argument they have?
I don't know.
You stole my show. Ideas in the mind.
I know his first episode was, I think the premiere episode was that him and Tim Allen, like they were like racing old cars against each other.
Tim Allen?
Yeah, that would be him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim Allen's old stuff is hilarious, man.
He is.
He's filthy in his stand-up. I laugh at that stuff. Tool time. Can you give me a little...
I don't remember Tool Time ever. Well, it could be dirty. It has a dirty connotation. But that was from his show Home Improvement. I don't remember that.
No,
ever
his pre-stand-up days before before he did Tool Time.
Pure Michigan, yo.
Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the voice. We know him. Yeah. What about why are we talking about?
We're rambling because we were talking about Jay Leno earlier, and he's going to be at this. He's going to be doing his set at this function that you're going to.
Yeah.
Are you going to approach Jay Leno? Are you going to say hello to him?
Yeah, I'm going to tell him all about the Hoolies Hoolie. Tell him we got McCann's Irish Oatmeal on board.
Oh, great.
I'm looking to get, you know, he doesn't have any clout anymore, I guess. You know, like people were like, he was like completely ostracized at the end there by the comedy community because, you know, he was like the bad guy out of the situation.
Yeah.
Meh, I don't care. Meh.
So what do you know exactly? I mean, are you going to be like, what part of Boston are you staying in?
I don't even know. How horrible is that of me?
Hey.
I'll be talking to a lot of plastic surgeons. That's where they go to these conventions. They bring their wives because they want to show off their great work. You know?
Really?
They go, look at this. This is me. This is my, you know, it's their...
I don't think they talk like that, but...
Yeah, like they're Goodfellas.
Look at old Greaseball. Right. Look at her. Take a look at her, huh?
I'll tell you, the work I did on the areola is just mind-blowing.
Okay.
Yeah. There is going to be some of that there, which is kind of weird because then there's going to be other guys who are like, I work with children who have cleft palates. And then there's guys over here who are like, I do butt injections, you know, but they all get together and high five that weekend. And I'm excited to go schmooze them. It's going to be a great time.
And tell them how to process their money, right? Through credit processing.
We don't talk about money. This is about fun and Leno and party and, you know.
And plastic.
Yeah, man.
Silicone, baby.
In more ways than one, right? Yeah. Credit cards are plastic. And
yeah.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. Right?
Yeah.
Tonight's show is sponsored by McCann's Instant Irish Oatmeals. You can get it with apples and cinnamon. How about that? That's a good thing.
Yeah.
John Murray has been our guest. I've always wanted to have him on the program, get a little exclusive interview with him. He is the creator of... the signs and the slogans and the T-shirts that are now popping up in Cub Fandomania. Is that a word, Fandomania?
You just made it up.
I did. It is
I
now.
I like it.
It's Fandomania down here. Everyone's wearing these It's Gonna Happen shirts. I can't believe
that,
it.
You know what? That was a fun summer, though, when you guys were doing that. Because I remember I would get off of work, like working at the Gage or when I was working down at Wellington's as a bartender, and I would go out to the wee early hours of the morning.
Big City Tap. That was Cousin Dave's spot.
Deja Vu. Used to hit that one up every now and then, too. Yeah.
Yep. That was me, you, and Cousin Dave. Yeah. And John would go home to his wife and family when he could.
Yeah. But we had
it's time to make those day games next day.
Yeah. Yes. That was an incredibly fun summer. I was working at the Gauge that summer as well.
Well, no, you quit.
Yeah.
You lasted like a couple months, but that was about it.
Because it was too fun, because I was like, the ballpark, this is where it's at. I get to party, there's hot babes here every day. Everybody wants what I have right now. So everybody would come up to me and be like, I'm going to get a bracelet down. I got to get those t-shirts. Where are those t-shirts at? And Gazzolo would be hunched over. I'm sorry, that's Cousin Dave, everybody. But he'd be hunched over. Like, because his back was killing him, and he'd just be whipping the t-shirts at people. $20, $20 was great. It was a fun time.
Yeah.
That's a movie, John, that summer.
It probably could be. The craziest thing about that was what you just kind of mentioned was we were kind of like in the eye of the hurricane that summer. They kept winning.
The camaraderie, though, that exists outside the stadium between the guys who work outside the stadium or on a hustle of sorts is unbelievable.
Everyone's hustling, but we all kept it positive, you know, and you deal with a lot of some idiots, but everyone, they all, you know, sooner or later self-destruct.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I remember you and I sitting against the fence one day and you're like, this is insane. This isn't normal because everyone's coming down there partying every day.
Yeah.
You
know, every day.
Bussing people in from everywhere.
Yeah.
You think it's normal, but we were caught in the eye of the storm and it was a blast and they kept winning. But
we did. But I remember you at a certain point were like, we got to pace ourselves. Like, there's 30 games left here. But it is exciting. Are you going to be going? Now, you told me during the break that you might have a pass to go out to see the first couple games if they are going to be playing the Mets, if.
I have two nephews that are playing a football game out there early in the day if the Mets win. And then there's like, I'd say, a 50-50 chance
that you can get out there. Do you want to be on the field when they do it? Is that one of your things? Is that a thing that has to happen for John?
On the field? No, not at all. Never again.
Yeah. Watch it from home.
Now, I know that one of your brothers, but were you with one of your brothers? Because I know they were in Houston when the Sox won it. Were you there too or no?
No, I didn't go there. My one of my brothers had a hookup with seats, and one of them's a big Sox fan. So they all went down there for the sweep when the Sox won it.
Yeah.
I was calling all my Sox fans the night before they won it, congratulating them, said, enjoy this one. They don't come around very often.
No, yeah.
And actually, I've gotten a few of those texts when the Cubs clinched against St. Louis and Pittsburgh as well.
Well, the one thing I hear that I have to admit about this team this year that I, you know, as a Sox fan is these kids, there's no fear. There's no egos. You know, in the past years, you know, I guess my dislike towards the Cubs would be, first of all, I just did not like Sammy Sosa. I couldn't get behind him. And then, you know, and not only that, but like, I wasn't a big Moises Alou fan or anything.
Yeah.
This is just a group of young kids that love to play the game and they got a good manager. And that's why, you know, as a Sox fan, I hate to say it, they're fun to watch.
Yeah,
they
are.
They really are.
Yeah, it's the first time, you know, but they have not done anything yet.
Wait, what did I say? It's going to happen.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, John, another reason for the rest of the world to be upset with you if they don't do it again this year.
Thanks for getting me on record.
You finally come down and do an interview?
No,
and,
they can yell at me 20 times. I've been saying it since 1995, probably.
Now, that's got a thing that annoys you after a while, though, because you create this thing. And then all of a sudden, people associate you with it like everywhere you go. People are like, "That's the it's gonna happen guy. It's the it's gonna happen guy." How often does that happen to you?
A ton, like 07, 08.
Yeah.
And yeah, you say thank you if they're positive, and if they're if they're negative, you just smile and walk away.
Who's that over in the corner over there? Oh, that's John Cusack, Eddie Vedder. His publicist, the It's Gonna Happen guy, saw him, that he was there.
Yeah.
They had...
You can call me that if I can hang out with those guys.
If? Yeah. Well, John, I do want to thank you. Now, I got to get to this incident. How horrible was it to go home after when you were getting that call from your dad after the entire the Randy Myers debacle when you were a kid back at Wrigley Field? It's showing on ESPN. Your dad gets that call and goes, we had an issue in the family today. Because it's very Irish. I mean, you gotta. I mean, I'm amused by this.
I'd say my dad wasn't as forgiving as my mom.
Yeah.
My mom called me that night, or actually, I called her, and she goes, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yes, everything was okay." It was a dare, and I'm fine.
It was a dare.
But this is gonna hurt. And she said, "As long as you're okay, I love you." That's
yeah.
Oh, that was nice.
So everyone else beat me up.
Well, we love you for it. Not for that.
Actually, how big was Randy Myers when you actually got up close to him?
I think we're going to talk about this. No, that was just a dare, and it was a dumb move that you had to pay for. But it was part of that was I had to go back to work.
Yes.
You guys know the place where 4,000 people see and they're all yelling.
Oh, man.
What a trade.
Taunting at you. And it was funny, though, is the day that I got back after that incident, you'll remember this, was they were all chanting my badge name. In the
Jammer?
Room. Jammer. Jammer. I was like Daryl Strawberry in Boston.
This is like a Damon Runyon story.
At noon, it all stopped. Because at noon that day, the OJ verdict came out.
No way! Wow. Were you like, thank you, OJ?
It was for everyone's. They were all betting on it. They're like, this guy's guilty. It was 5-1, 6-1. They're giving 8-1 odds in New York on the phone.
It's funny you brought that up. I just was watching the lost tapes of the OJ Simpson. Was that on A&E earlier this week?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show, actually. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Speaking of connections to OJ, his pal was Kardashian, Robert, the late Robert.
Yeah.
And one of his daughters set old Lamar Odom into quite the tailspin since he's been with her. And he was found... Was he found on the floor OD'd at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Las Vegas, Nevada? Is that correct, Bill? Is that what you tell me earlier?
That's currently what the status is. But, we're talking on Thursday. This is airing on Saturday. So, you know what? We don't want to wish any ill will on anyone. So we hope that Lamar is okay. But, yes, the Kardashians were involved in Lamar's life.
I'm just reporting the news here. There's a big story about Odom. I got to get it out there. Yeah. Anyway, we hope Odom's okay. Yeah. No relation to C.C. Odom. Remember him, the guy at the Board of Trade? wonderful guy. Texas guy. C.C. Odom. One of my favorite names. Anyway, the Hooli's Hooli is sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and I understand that we have a caller when we come back.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice. So you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
I
And we're back.
Tom Borman, he's a good guy.
That's right. Yeah. It's 12:40 a.m. This is the Hooli's Hooli. Tonight our guest has been John Murray. I want to thank John for doing the program again. Bill, we have a caller on the line.
Oh, really?
Engineer tells
me.
We
haven't had a caller in a while.
I know. It's nice to have him. The engineer, you know, and because, well, the engineer Mike has alerted me that this caller's name is Seth, and he's calling from Wrigleyville. Seth, are you with us?
Hey, guys. What's up?
How are things with you and the reason for your call this evening?
I'm just super excited about the Cubs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yep. I tried to call in the sports stations, but I can't get through, so I'm just kind of checking every station out to you I can talk to, you know?
Oh, yeah. They're just that excited about the Cubs, huh?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's nice. Well, John Murray's here. Seth, say hello to John.
John, thank you for a wonderful slogan.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was very nice of you.
You know what? I like the fact that you're calling in, Seth. We don't have a lot of listeners named Seth on the Hooli's Hooli, seeing that most of our demographic is named after or is a young Irish American audience, per se. Seth, you just found us on the dial tonight?
That's right. And I'm sure you got a lot of Cubs fans listening because it's our year. We deserve this. It's been too long, and we, you know. Someday me, John Cusack, Vince Vaughn, Billy Dak will all be in a hot air balloon celebrating, throwing ribbons at people.
Oh, that's that could happen pretty soon, as a matter of fact. We could only be a few weeks away from that, Seth. Is that the dream you've had?
That's the dream I've had since about 6 months ago when I first started liking the Cubs a lot.
You just started liking the Cubs,
Well,
Seth?
I'm from Ohio.
Oh, you are.
Oh,
okay.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, so I don't care that much. You know, it's somewhere to go on the weekdays.
What do you do for your day job, Seth?
I work at Groupon.
Oh, beautiful.
It's awesome.
And is that like, apparently you're kind of into the Chicago nightlife scene. You're well aware that Cusack and Deck and Vedder and all those
Vaughn,
dudes.
Not Vedder, but you just, Vedder is a big
company. Vedder, he opened us up at the top of the show. He's an old pal.
Who's he? Did he play drums for Candlebox?
No,
no,
you're thinking of Metter. No, Eddie Vedder, come on, Pearl Jam, you know him, right, Seth?
No, I never heard of it.
Hey, Seth, Seth, can I ask you a question?
I was born in 1997.
Oh, wow.
John, you had a question for Seth?
Yeah, if he's available for it.
Yep, shoot.
All right, Seth, if it's the World Series, let's say it's this year, who throws out the first pitch for Game 6 and 7? Is it Michael Jordan or Bill Murray in game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7?
I say that Bartman fella does it.
Oh.
No, I doubt it.
He should put on a tuxedo and look real nice and apologize on camera and then whip it.
Now, I remember the last time the Cubs blew it. They ended up blowing the ball up. Do you remember that, Seth? Were you watching when that happened, when they...
Were you living in Chicago?
Yes.
Did you go down to Harry Carey's to watch them blow the ball up that Bartman apparently touched? Is that the ball that it was? Is that what that was?
Well, he's only 19. He was born in 1997.
Yeah, so he was 11. He was 11 in 08. Right?
I think no. I was in Ohio. I was eating. I was eating at Steak and Shake. I think probably.
But you were still having feverish dreams of going in hot air balloons with John Cusack and Billy Deck.
Yep.
Hey Seth, better baseball movie, Rookie of the Year, or
Or Rookie of the Year. Come on, what are you talking
about?
Rookie
of the Year or, what's the movie with Charlie Sheen? The Cleveland Indians.
Major League.
Major League. Better movie.
Major League is too much bad language. I would say Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah. You like that kid from American Pie, huh? He's in that movie, right?
Yeah, he's cool.
Big Cub fan, let me ask you this.
Yep.
Seersucker or Oxford?
No socks, Oxford, Seersucker shorts, and a 84... blue Cubs thingy with white rim sunglasses and a perfect haircut with a hard part.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
You are a Cub
fan. Budweiser or Old Style?
Maybe Old Style, I guess. It's kind of icky, and then go have some mixed drinks at the bar.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, as a just a little boy in Iowa listening.
Ohio!
Oh, you're from? I thought you're from Ohio.
Yeah, he said Ohio like three times.
Oh, man. I thought he said Iowa because lots of Cub fans are from Iowa. I've never heard. So that's why he asked the major league question.
Yes.
It shows you where I am in my head. I said, "Boy, you're okay." What's your beef with the Indians, Seth?
I don't know. They're just not as trendy as the Cubs. Cubs are like the Kardashians of baseball.
Yeah,
I know. You want to be around them. You want to look at them and take selfies towards them.
They break your heart a lot.
They do. They do. They're like a little golden retriever puppy. You just want to hug them.
Yep.
But they're fun. They're cute.
What are your plans for when the Cubs do win it? Are you going to go out anywhere other than, I mean, obviously.
I'm going to Rocket.
Oh, okay. There it is. He answered it.
Well.
I'm going to cram myself into a small car with four other guys and go to Rocket.
Oh, nice.
And Go Cubs Go plays all weekend at
all
the house?
Weekend. Yep, all weekend.
And then maybe a little Vetter, Someday We'll Go All the Way. That song, too.
I don't like Candlebox that much.
He's in Pearl Jam. Okay.
Oh, never heard of them.
Wait a minute. Are you guys Sox fans?
Yeah, a little bit. hey, Seth, have you ever had McCann's Irish Oatmeal?
It's delicious.
Oh, heck yeah. So you must have watched a lot of Oprah in the past.
Tons.
Yeah, I kind of got onto that a little bit. Seth, any last words for us before you leave us? I want to thank you again for calling in. Yeah, I mean, you said you were calling in on the dials. You just found us, and you know, it's very sweet of you to do so.
Yep, no problem. You guys should play a lot more Madonna and stuff. But anyway, my final words I would say is,
yeah,
hopefully we can just win this whole thing so we can party forever and rave and bring back raving.
Party forever and bring back raving.
So yep. If the Cubs win, raving is coming back apparently.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. In my studio apartment it is.
Okay.
Blue, red, and white lights perhaps?
Yep. Big dancing bears.
Big dancing bears.
We're going to go to a break on
Thank
that
Thank you for
note.
Calling in, Seth. Appreciate it. Hey, go Cubs, all right?
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJewel's. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
There we are. We're back. The Hooli's Hooli. We're in the end of the show here.
Yeah.
Seth.
Boy. Seth, wow. Did you even ask Seth? I mean, he just said he was just flipping around the radio dial. That's how he found us, right?
Yeah. He was good. Well,
he tried to call into all the sports shows, but no one would put him on the line. Except for us.
That's right.
So if you're listening out there, you can always call in, talk to us, but you have to call in on Wednesday nights.
Yep. John Murray has been our guest. I want to thank you, John. John, thanks for doing the program.
Thanks for having me.
I do want to ask, if any of the Cub fans and fandemonium out there that are going wild about the Cubs now entering the pennant, if they want to purchase some It's Gonna Happen merch, how can they do so?
The vendors at the corners on Addison, or they can go to itsgonnahappen.com, or...
it's going to happen.com is the spot to get it.
In New York.
Yes. Otherwise, you got to go down to the park and get it from John.
Hey.
Or one of his foot soldiers at this point. How many guys you got on the ground for World Series?
Most of those guys who are for the World Series. That's I'm not going to take that bait.
All right.
Hey, I want to get
thank you, John,
as well. I want to throw one thing big out there. Well, we're talking about the big guy, Brendan O'Connor. I want to remind the audience one more time that his benefit is going to be Friday, October 23rd at the Carlton Hotel at 6:00. It's $40 at the door. It gets you beer, wine, and food. There's going to be three live bands. Mr. Bungalow, is that what it was called?
Yep, Jason Mamoser, Mr. Bungalow, and the Shams Band.
And the Shams Band, and that goes from 6 to 11. Come on out there and support Brendan O'Connor's family as he goes through this fight with cancer.
Right.
It's going to be a great evening. I hope to see everybody there. Anything else, Pat?
No, that about sums it up. This has been a great episode of the Hooli's Hooli. We are sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. You can find the Hooli's Hooli on www.freecrack.com. That's C-R-A-I-C, Citizens Reporting American Irish Culture.
All right.
Until next week, this has been the Hooli's Hooli.
See you later.
Bye.